Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Mark and Karen have a busy schedule: gymnastics, karate, soccer, science club, art class, and volunteering for Meals on Wheels. But they do get their schoolwork in on time. They have to. Their parents are their teachers, and their school is at home. From a parent's perspective, what are the advantages of homeschooling, and why is it worth considering for our children? I'm Linda Perlis. Sandy Burt is not able to be with us for today's program. Our guests have a lot to share with us. Nancy and Billy Greer decided to homeschool when their son was born in 1988. In 1992, they started North County Home Educators, a Maryland-based support group for anyone interested in homeschooling. Their Family Unschoolers Network, begun in 1994, produces a quarterly newsletter and discounted books. The Greers have a 10-year-old son and a 6-year-old daughter. Welcome, Nancy and Billy.
Thank you for having us, Linda.
Hi, Linda. Nice to be here.
Billy, what is homeschooling, and why might parents decide to consider homeschooling for themselves?
Homeschooling, in a nutshell, is the process of educating your children at home. So it means taking your children out of public or private school and taking responsibility for their own education. Now, the reasons that parents homeschool are very diverse. The stereotype is that they do it because of religious reasons. You know, they may want to educate their children with a biblical perspective, but now that is really changing a lot. Many parents have discovered that after spending 4 or 5 years of raising their children at home, they don't want to turn their kids over to someone else. So there may be family considerations. They just like having their kids around and being responsible for them. Also, many parents feel that they have resources that they can provide that may not be available in their school system. Other concerns may be safety and exposure to physical violence. There's also concerns about the negative socialization of peer pressure. So these are some of the issues that caused parents to choose to homeschool today.
One of the things you said was it involves taking your children out of school, but sometimes what you're saying is they never start in a school. They start right from when they're very young to learn at home.
That's very true.
That's true in our instance. It was something that we considered when I was pregnant. I started researching our options then. And sometimes people think that's funny, but I think for a lot of people, it's good to do their homework. And we just happened to start a lot earlier.
Gave yourselves plenty of time to prepare. How can children learn to socialize with other children if they don't meet friends through school?
Well, Linda, this is probably the most commonly asked question of homeschoolers. In fact, I would say the majority of us have become very used to answering that question. And my answer is that homeschoolers have loads of opportunity for social experiences. There's 4-H, Scouts, drama classes, ballet, gymnastics, theater. There are also now many homeschooling support groups that have special interest clubs, activities, field trips. In fact, I remember one year our children went on more field trips in that one year than I had in my entire 12 years of public schooling.
I see those kinds of programs as really advantageous because those of us whose children have gone through more traditional schooling have seen our children make their friends through school. And so the kinds of activities you're talking about are kind of crucial, I think.
When the word socialization comes up, a lot of times people mean socializing, such as having friends, but they also are concerned about socialization when it comes to working cooperatively within a group. And again, that's very easy to do because through homeschooling families getting together, they can pool their resources, have their kids do group activities together. So it's really not that big of a concern. There was a study done that has shown that homeschooled children are at least as well socialized as school children. And I personally believe that homeschoolers have more realistic socialization because their interaction is with people of a variety of ages, young and old, and on a regular basis.
If I could add, too, it's really neat to see the interaction between these different age groups. we participate in a games club with a local homeschooling support group. And in that club, kids bring in, you know, different games that they're interested in playing. And when you walk into the room and see the kids playing, it's not at all unusual to see a 6-year-old and a 10-year-old playing together at a game and having a good time.
Just one more thought I wanted to add, too, is that homeschooled children are together with their siblings a lot more. And while they're the same as any other siblings, they have their quarrels and fights, they still are around each other a lot more and interact a lot more with each other. And often I see older children interacting a lot with their younger siblings, even babies, I think a different way because they're around them for so much time.
Kids get a lot from each other, just growing up together in the same household. Billy, can families combine school and homeschooling? Can they either send one child to public school or private school and teach the other child at home, or teach some things at home and some things in the school?
Okay, I guess you can answer that question on a couple of levels. One is the legality of it. And if you're looking at having a child that is partially homeschooled and takes advantage of some programs at school, we like to say that everybody homeschools. You know, it's just a matter of degree. Some people homeschool completely. Other people homeschool only while their kids are at home and send them off to school for part of the day. But if you're a parent, you can't help but homeschool because your children are learning from you all the time that they're around you, you know, by example, if not by direct instruction. Now, question of legality of having a child that is partially homeschooled and takes some programs from public schools or private schools, that varies from state to state. I believe about 20% of the states have programs that allow homeschoolers to participate in programs at the school. And, you know, that may be extracurricular activities such as band or participating in sports, and it can also be specific classes.
Like lab courses, I'm thinking of. How do you do chemistry or biology at home or physics?
Right. That is a concern for many parents. It seems that math and science are the two big concerns for a lot of parents. And we find that if you're in a state where you can't participate in programs offered by schools, often community colleges offer programs. And even in the states where homeschoolers have access to public school programs, many don't like to take advantage of them. They prefer to put together their own programs. In some cases, there are co-op groups where several families will join together, maybe to purchase equipment or to hire a tutor to cover a specific subject that they don't feel confident in teaching. And the reality, though, is that many parents can provide very good instruction in areas that they don't feel confident in, because the homeschooling process is kind of a journey of learning that happens together. And, you know, we're amazed many times how much we learn from our kids. You know, we think that we're helping them to learn, and we find that they pick up knowledge that we don't know where it came from. You know, we didn't tell them about it. We don't think it was even any books that we provided to them, but they know this stuff.
They're tuned into learning, clearly.
Yes, because they have a real interest in what they're doing, and they just absorb stuff from, you know, some unknown source and really surprise us.
Both Sandy and I have had to find mentors for our kids. My oldest really was marvelous on the computer very young, and his teacher kept saying, you need to have a computer in your home. And we didn't know anyone with a computer at home. We thought that was crazy. He's 27 years old, so this was a while ago. And he went to learn about a computer at someone else's home, and he took off on it. But he needed someone other than me or my husband to work with him. Sandy had a son who really needed someone to teach him chemistry when he was about sixth grade. So he went to a chemistry class at the local high school, and he also had a mentor from a local university who worked with him on chemistry. So I guess you do the same kinds of things, only to a greater degree when you
right.
need to.
Yeah, right. I think parents shouldn't automatically assume that they cannot handle a subject, because they can really surprise themselves, you know, when they start pursuing it. But also, it really does seem to be a case that, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Because when you discover an interest in a particular area, you suddenly discover that, oh, you have a friend, or there's a friend of a friend who's knowledgeable in that area and is willing to work with your kids. And I think mentoring is a very good option. You know, if a child has an interest in an area, to find somebody who is really doing work in that area, put the two together, and they have some real communications and some real knowledge is gained by that process.
In our state, there's a local community college I knew of that has specifically targeted programs for homeschoolers in science. So if people are concerned about their children being exposed to lab equipment, they can check and see if their community college has something to offer, or they can go to the community college and say, well, look, we've got this group of homeschoolers that is interested in a lab program. Could we put something together? A lot of homeschoolers, these things come about because of them actively searching for these resources.
And they're out there in the community.
Right.
It's a matter of finding them and getting in touch with the right people. Nancy, do you know anything about youngsters who have been homeschooled all the way until college, gone then into more traditional circumstances of college, graduate school, or work? And do you know how they've done or how they're doing?
Well, to quote from a book by Kathy Cohen called And What About College, which I highly recommend, homeschoolers have been getting into college and receiving financial aid since the 70s, and more homeschooled teenagers than ever are applying and being accepted to college. Kathy Cohen's son was admitted to the Air Force Academy. The famous Colfax family had three of their four homeschooled sons accepted by Harvard.
Now, I think it's interesting to note, too, that many colleges and universities have specific policies towards homeschoolers. So that tells you that homeschooling is widespread enough that colleges have realized that we're going to get lots of applicants from homeschoolers, so we need to have a policy on how we handle them, since they may not have the traditional guidelines that are used, such as having grades and transcripts prepared by teachers.
I'm more concerned about how they do once they're there, both socially and academically, since I have two who have graduated from college and one who's in college now, and I'm seeing what it takes.
From my personal experience, I know of quite a few homeschoolers that are either in college or nearly graduated or have graduated and done quite well. As I mentioned, with the Colfax family, their eldest son graduated from Harvard with honors and was the recipient of a Fulbright scholarship. And he's done quite well. And a close friend of ours has a daughter who's in her senior year in college, and she's been an intern at a newspaper, and all her teachers have very high praise for her. She's done quite well.
We also have to realize that for many parents with homeschooling, one of the goals is to produce someone who's an independent thinker, you know, someone who is their own person. And when that happens, that independent thinker may decide that college isn't for them. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. There are many mentoring programs, apprenticeships. There are many career choices that do not require college or can be better served by taking alternate approaches to learning.
Nancy, do parents need backgrounds or training as teachers in order to homeschool?
Well, if you're looking at it from a legal standpoint, it varies from state to state what their requirements are. If you're asking if I think that a parent who has a teaching degree is better qualified to homeschool, then no. Research has shown that the formal training of parents is not a factor in the achievement level of home-educated students. In fact, if you think about it, many successful private schools do not require their teachers to be certified in education. I feel that what's more important than formal training is the commitment, concern, and enthusiasm that you can bring to your child's education. And also, I believe Bill pointed this out earlier, too, that a parent does not have to teach all the subjects. There are so many different outside sources who can share information and skills with a child, including tutors, mentors, and librarians. And additionally, a child can volunteer at many places in the community where learning takes place. I can think of science centers, animal shelters, wildlife centers, libraries, and special courses, as I alluded to earlier, for homeschoolers are being offered by many community resources. So I feel the most important thing is to find out what your child needs and help them locate the materials needed.
But Linda, I would go even further and say that in some cases, having teaching credentials can be a problem with homeschooling, because you have to realize that a homeschool environment is very different from a school environment. And a lot of what teachers are taught is for classroom management.
You touched on this a little bit, Billy. How are days and work planned and organized? What do you do all day?
Well, again, that varies a lot from family to family. You know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, kind of the two spectrums you have in homeschooling, the two ends of the spectrum are those that are very much reproducing a school environment. So they may have obtained the same textbooks that the school system uses. They may organize their day into class schedules, cover a subject for a certain amount of time per day. Some even go so far as to use the same school desk that their kid would have in public school. And on the other end, there are what are often referred to as unschoolers. And these are people who believe that learning is a natural part of life. Everyday activities entail learning. So rather than having anything pre-planned for the day, you kind of wake up with the kids and start your learning adventure. I know for our kids, a real interest in Egypt arose just from looking at the back of a dollar bill and noticing a pyramid and asking some questions about that pyramid and what it was, just led into, I guess we spent quite a bit of time and went through many books and videos and other resources all on Egypt just from that simple little experience.
Today, your children are learning how a radio show is produced, I might add, sitting in the control room. Nancy, what is the legal status of homeschooling? How can parents find out what's required in their state?
Well, first of all, homeschooling is legal in every state. Since education is an issue of states' rights, laws and regulations vary from state to state, and some state laws are more favorable to homeschoolers. Some states have very little requirements, while others are more regulated. The more regulated states might require a curriculum approved by the state, home visits, submission of achievement tests, and so on. And of course, from our experience talking with homeschoolers from other states, it's really a matter of personal opinion what is an easy law to live with. But we highly recommend that new homeschoolers talk with other homeschoolers, perhaps contacting a support group to learn about what is required. And above all, they should consult their state's homeschooling law and find out for themselves what is required of them. And they should be able to get a copy of that law from their local or state board of education.
And libraries usually have information on contacting support groups. So that's another source.
Nancy, since parents already pay taxes for public school education, what kinds of additional expenses will they face with homeschooling?
Well, first of all, homeschooling does not need to be expensive. Again, the library is one of our favorite community resources. Also, if you're looking at the issue of whether schools should offer services to homeschoolers, classes or sports, that has been an issue in many states.
With the issue of taxes, too, when you phrase the question like that, that homeschoolers pay taxes to the public schools, it's important to realize that all of us pay those taxes.
Yes, of course.
There are people that do not have children, and people who have children that are long past school age are still paying those taxes. So it's not necessarily the thought that, these parents should get money back. Otherwise, everybody's going to be asking for rebates on money spent towards education. And in fact, there is a group called the Separation of School and State Alliance that proposes exactly that. But back to the issue of homeschooling and those resources, in some states, money is provided to homeschoolers that they can use as they choose. In other states, there are specific programs that are state-run for homeschoolers, but many homeschoolers have a concern that that's just another form of school. Again, some of the parental discretion and abilities to handle their child's education are reduced by those programs.
Do both parents need to be involved if you're homeschooling your children? Because you, Billy, have managed to adapt your professional life, or maybe Nancy, you were working too, I don't know, to sort of, you've centered it around this homeschooling program for your children. I think parents need to know if they both need to be involved?
Well, preferably they're both involved, perhaps. I mean, most typically it's the mother that's going to be home during the day, but certainly the father when he comes home from work, I would see ideally as being involved. In fact, there's even a homeschooling publication out now called Homeschool Dad that's about how fathers can be more involved in their child's education.
And I think also with homeschooling, for especially fathers, they have to realize that the education doesn't have to be in terms of what we think of as education, you know, based on our own school experiences. If either parent has an interest, sharing that interest is a form of education, and that might be woodworking. It might be, you know, working on
cooking,
automobiles,
gardening,
or just cooking, any of those things. And there is a lot of benefit from those subjects. I know for myself, you know, I've studied geometry, but some of the neatest tricks I've learned pertaining to geometry came from woodworking. So again, you know, a lot of those activities and real life experiences offer more educational benefit than most people realize.
I'm thinking that there may be dads who stay home and do the homeschooling and moms who have the more lucrative careers, so they're the ones out in the working world.
I actually know some people that that's how it has worked out, and they're very happy with that situation. And the reality of it is I think most homeschoolers are living on one person's income. So, you know, someone is home.
Billy, what kinds of resources do families need to homeschool?
Well, really, the resource requirements are minimal. I think one of the most important resources you can get is to find a support group in your area, because that will put you in touch with other people. And it's nice to get together with other parents who are supportive of what you're doing, parents who have been through problems that you're experiencing and can offer their assistance, and are also very familiar with all of the opportunities and resources available in your specific area. Because again, those resources can vary a lot from state to state. As Nancy mentioned, one of the biggest resources is the library. You know, they offer, in many cases, computers, internet access, and then all of the wonderful books they have. And libraries have become much more in tune with the needs of homeschoolers, and many of them now have extensive sections that are dedicated to homeschoolers and may even carry magazines or newsletters that pertain specifically to homeschooling.
Depending on how you homeschool, too, there's lots of commercial curricula and textbooks available for homeschoolers, but many of the people I know create their own curriculum, and that's where you can really...
To have both options.
Right, right. And another fantastic book I like for teenagers is the Teenage Liberation Handbook by Grace Llewellyn.
Now, do you have an 800 number? Do you have a newsletter? Is there something they could get through you?
Right. We do provide a free sample copy of our national newsletter that we do for homeschoolers. And we also have a catalog of resource materials. And those could be obtained by calling our toll-free number at 888-386-7020, which is a voicemail box, but you can leave your address information there and we'll send you out a copy.
Would you repeat that number?
Okay, the number again is 888-386-7020. We also have a website that has lots of information and links to other sites with additional information. And if you have internet access, that address is www.iqcweb.com/FUN.
FUN as in fun?
Family Unschoolers Network. Okay. We believe learning should be fun.
And our email address is FUN@iqcweb.com.
We'd like to thank our guests, Nancy and Billy Greer, for an interesting and informative look at an alternative way to educate our children. For me, this program has been so educational. I've learned so much because I never knew anything about homeschooling when my children were little.
It's and grown quite a bit.
I almost wish I could start again, but I can't do that. Thank you so much. Our gift for caller number 2 on our listeners' poll is supplies for a child's birthday party. Everything you need except the food. Call us at 1-800-791-8573 to answer the following question. What is the most valuable educational experience you have had with your child? To answer, call us at 1-800-791-8573 so we can send you the free party supplies. For other comments or questions, you can also reach us through your local station or by email at parentsper, that's P-E-R, at AOL.com. This is Linda Perlis. Sandy Burt and I are glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.